paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
I felt very comfortable going to Sherwood. For instance, I would never wear an apron. They tried to make me wear an apron. I wanted to wear sexy nightgowns so that people could actually see, because we were the first couple to sleep in the same bed on television. And so, you know, I wanted to make her as human as possible. And Sherwood, you know, would kind of go along with that. I remember there was one scene where there were two young kids that were coming home with Marsha, or one of the kids, and they were not wired for sound, which meant they could not speak, because if they spoke, they got paid a little more money. And I said, this is stupid, to the director. I said, kids don't come into your house and don't say anything. And they would go, hi, Mrs. Brady, or whatever. But they wouldn't just come in and not utter a sound. And they said, well, we're sorry, they're not wired for sound. I said, that's it. Stop it. And I so seldom ever raised my voice or said, you know, unacceptable. And I went to the phone. I called Sherwood. I said, this is absolutely stupid. I'll pay for it. I said, let the kids say hi to me and let them act like normal kids. I'll pay for it. But I don't want to be in a scene that is so totally unbelievable. So they let the kids speak, and they paid for it. But if you don't do that very often, then I think people listen and you make a point. And luckily, I didn't have to do it very often.
Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. That was the legendary Florence Henderson, who just passed away less than a month ago. It's that time of year where we talk about the lists of the best and worst of everything in 2016, but it's also time we remember and reflect on those familiar faces we lost over the past year. Some very familiar, some you may not know, but wish you had. And joining me live, and this will be our fifth year doing this, very excited about this, we welcome pop culture historians Wally Podrazik and Kevin Pokorny. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Wally. Kevin?
Oh, good. You're back. I also needed three full orders of ribs and a half a gallon of slaw.
Uh-huh. Do you need silverware?
You playing late? You have hush puppy.
You placing an order? A late night order? Yeah,
you got,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Big mistake. That was a big error. That was a huge mistake. Huge mistake. Oh, guys, always a pleasure to do this. I know it's very funny that we do this at such various time slots. We were in prime time on Cochrane Show last time, and Bill and Wendy.
What did we do wrong this last time?
You've been demoted to overnights. I apologize.
Happened?
I don't know what mistake did you make? You know, I really do look forward to doing this segment, because it is a, you know, you remember those people throughout the year that passed away, but then, you know, kind of bringing it all together at the end of the year is just such a great reflection. So many people, we want to start in television because we talk about all the different categories. We talked a little bit about Florence Henderson, which I just want to tell you one really cool thing about Florence is that, you know, she was the first Today Show girl back in the 1950s. And Wally, I'm sure you know this because you're about the Tonight Show. You know, between Jack Parr and Johnny Carson, there was a pretty long lull in there where they had rotated guest hosts, right?
Yes. And they were doing, well, basically they had to wait until he was able to assume the chair, and so they basically had to just fill in.
And Florence Henderson was one of those regular hosts of The Tonight Show during that period. When you think about that, in the early 60s, you know, she was doing that. I mean, she was doing a lot of Broadway at the time, and as I said, she did The Today Show, but she was a regular host of The Tonight Show until she got The Brady Bunch, and of course, The Brady Bunch for so many years and all the different incarnations. But guys, what do you remember? She was a spokesperson for a lot of brands. What is the big brand she was a sponsor for?
Wessonality.
Yeah, she was for Wesson Oil.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny, when I buy oil, like for baking and stuff like that, I buy Wesson in a nod to Florence Henderson.
Sure.
But so many different... Yes, go ahead, I'm sorry.
What's really wonderful about what we're doing is that there's a touch of sadness saying, oh, we've lost them, but it's an excuse to remember why they mean so much to us. Is that either it's a silly little everyday task, like you say, buying Wesson Oil, but it's also that they got themselves into our everyday lives, and so we did lose a member of the family, so we remember fondly, indeed, what that member of the family was like. And it ended up being more positive.
And you know what's funny, too, is we looked at the different categories. Every year, the categories, of course, because they just are what they are, they're a little imbalanced of, you know, where's the biggest passings coming from? Is it coming from the movies, the television? Is it notable figures, music industry? This year was very heavily television, familiar faces. One of the big ones this year was Gary Marshall, Wally.
Yeah, and the thing about Gary Marshall is, if you think about defining comedy, especially during the 1970s, there was the Norman Lear School, the MTM, Mary Tyler Moore School, and there was the Gary Marshall School. And Gary Marshall had this really strong sense of mainstream accessible comedy. You think of the characters in Happy Days of Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
He had roots going back to The Odd Couple. He had roots going back even further. You look at the credits of shows for writers and such like Bilko and all, and you see Gary Marshall there. You see him as the man who has the sense of how to tell a good movie story. So you're talking Gary Marshall. You have Pretty Woman or Runaway Bride. But the thing that's most striking is that he also had a really deep affection for Northwestern, the alma mater,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah.
And he would come back and be a true mentor, an encouraging person. I have friends who attended his guest appearances and such, and they said, look, when they came out to Hollywood, he would be there. When they say, you know, give me a call, and he really did help. So as you look to people remembering important forces in their lives, there was nothing but affection in the Hollywood community for Gary Marshall, because he was someone who said, let me help you be your best.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Henry Winkler, I had Anson Williams on when he passed away, and they sing his praises that they learned everything they know about, you know, from a business perspective and producing and directing from him. What a legendary guy he was. Doris Roberts, Everybody Loves Raymond, you know, one of the biggest comedies on television. She was also, and I just saw her the other day on Christmas Vacation also.
Yeah, I remember her making a memorable appearance on Soap as an unhappy mom. She was in Remington Steele,
first saw her. Yep.
Angie was another one. There was like a sitcom called Angie for a while there that she was on.
Oh,
she was like the mom.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
And what's wonderful about she's a good example of someone who is, you would have under the category of character actor, but then she finds the defining role for viewers, in this case it would be Everybody Loves Raymond, where she just rides along with you for the lifetime of that series, and it's always wonderful when she comes on stage.
Before we go to break, I want to hit one more. Somebody that we thought, and most people thought, was dead years ago, Abe Vigoda from Barney Miller, Fish, The Godfather. Kevin, let's talk a little bit about Abe.
That was everybody's Deadpool every year.
Is he right?
And he just shut everybody out for the last decade. God bless him. Barney Miller. And then he had his own spinoff when he was Fish. And, of course, he was my favorite character in The Godfather. Delivering his famous line from Sal Tessio, if you remember, right before they take Sal away to whack him. Tell your brother it was only business.
Yeah, yeah.
Only business.
Yeah, I got
He's quite an avid runner, and for years and years would run 5 miles every morning, probably until he was doing the Snickers bar commercials, which is probably what your younger listeners here remember him.
Yeah, doing. Yeah. I met him some years ago at the TV Land Awards, and I got to tell you, could not be a nicer human being. And I can't tell you how many people stood there with me in this cocktail room and said, I thought he was long gone. That's the guy from Barney Miller?
He talked about that all the time, Dave. He made mention of that all the time, where people would say, I thought you were dead.
Yeah.
The day that he got the job on Barney Miller, he actually He went out for one of his famous 5-mile runs. He got a call from his agent. You got to come in. He's told this story numerous times over, where he came in and he's looking, he looks like fish. He's haggard. He's tired. He's got the sunken eyes. He was up early running. And the guy that was interviewing him for the spot said, "Hey, you look like you might have hemorrhoids." And the way he was walking, he says, "What are you, a doctor or a producer?" He gave him the job right there on the spot.
That's awesome. Well, I think about how young he was back then. He was probably our age when he did Barney Miller. He looked like he was 80.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the running joke on there was, even back then, is he still alive?
Yeah, I know. I mean, exactly. That's right. It was on Barney Miller. Well, yeah. Just a couple other mentions before we go to break here, and these are just honorable mentions. Bob Elliott, Bob and Ray, Noel Neal, who played Lois Lane from the original Superman, Hugh O'Brien as Wyatt Earp, Gary Glasberg from NCIS, he was the showrunner for that show, Robert Vaughn from Man from U.N.C.L.E., Jack Riley, who played Mr. Carlin from the Bob Newhart Show, Beth Howland from Alice, Andrew Sachs from Fawlty Towers. The list is endless, and we're going to talk more about that with Wally and Kevin after we take a look at the news. It is 2:34, and here is Roger Badish.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking about those we lost in 2016. That, of course, is the legendary David Bowie, which we'll be getting to music in just a little bit. Talking to Wally Pedrazic and Kevin Pokorny this morning. Another big name, Wally, in television, Morley Safer of 60 Minutes, died days after his official retirement.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like that's the kind of career you almost want to have, is you work it right till the very end, doing what you love doing. And he loved doing that, even though he was the center of controversy, not only from 60 Minutes, but going way back in the 60s with his war coverage of the destroying of huts in a Vietnamese village of Cam Nghi. And I'll tell you, that was a devastating war in terms of just an image of what the United States was doing in that war at that particular time. And for decades after, for the rest of his career, people were still angry at him for being the reporter of that news. I mean, he saw the news, he brought it out, and that same sense of integrity was there as a reporter and was certainly there as a co-host of 60 Minutes.
He was the last of the originals, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, last of the originals on that. And you know, you talked about pretty much working until you pass away. I have to throw in, although it's not television, it's radio, the cool gent, Herb Kent, Chicago's longest running DJ in the history of radio. He was on the air for 70 years. He was 88 years old. And, you know, here's a guy that did his show that Saturday morning and passed away that night. That's the way to go. That's the way I'm going today.
Hopefully not. A while longer, Dave.
Yeah, just a while longer. No, but you're absolutely right. That's the way to go, is to do what you do and do it until you just can't do it anymore. Another legend in television, Kevin, Patty Duke, the Patty Duke Show in the early days of television
that?
Was also,
you know,
one
amazing
of
amazing to think about. Yeah. You think that, wow, as long as she's been involved in theater and movies and television, and you're thinking, she died, and you got to throw out a year. She's probably 86, 90.
Wow.
69 years old.
Yeah. And you know what? It was one of the first shows that Nick and Knight had played that I think a whole generation had introduced her to. But right, longstanding career, and somebody else that passed away was William Shallert from the Patty Duke Show as well. Her father, right?
Right. Her dad. Yeah, her father. He was a Screen Actors Guild president when the actors went on strike for several weeks and going into months in Hollywood.
Back in the day.
That was
big. Agnes Nixon, the creator of All My Children. Gary Shandling, Kevin.
Gary Shandling. Now, there's a classic. That is self-deprecating humor. And his TV show is The Gary Shandling Show. You know, he got his start on Johnny Carson. He was a guest several times on the show. And it was while he was on Johnny Carson that he was getting these ideas about the trials and tribulations that go on during late night talk shows. And that's where he got a lot of his ideas for the humor on his show. And he was the first one in television, really, that broke that that third wall by looking at the camera and making comments to the camera. I think people today think that The Office was, wow, they're so innovative, where they're looking to the camera and making comments or, you know, eye gestures and whatnot. And that was Gary Shandling that did that.
You know, Dave, what? Can I throw one thing in?
Yeah.
On Gary, and I saw this because I was watching a rerun of Sanford and Son. And the credits went by, and I saw Gary Shandling, and I looked it up. He co-wrote about 6 or 7 episodes of Sanford and Son.
That was his early days, before he was doing, he was doing stand-up, but I think that was long before he started doing, or right around the time that he started doing The Tonight Show with Johnny. And he's got a ton of writing credits in there.
Gary Shandling.
Yeah, Wally?
I was going to say, he had a real sense of storytelling for his character on the Larry Sanders Show. He had one of the best endings of a series in that his final season, it was truly a take this job and shove it type coming out and saying, I'm quitting, I'm having fun, here's how I'm going out. And with such a sense of TV history, he was looking, looking at old Jack Parr episodes, say, how did Jack Parr depart the Tonight Show?
Yeah, a nod.
And so he had this real, real sense of he was truly a late night show host who really wasn't, but really was.
I still think the Larry Sanders Show was probably one of the top 10 best shows on television. With the exception of, you know, the fact that some of the stars of the day are a little dated. This is like watching The Tonight Show. I love watching reruns of The Tonight Show, but some of the topics and stuff can be a little dated. It is still stand-up funny when you look at what happened behind the scenes. But, yeah, Gary Shandling, very young, passing away as well. Another one I wanted to mention, Wally, is Alan Young from the early days of television. He was Wilbur, Mr. Ed.
Yes, and the thing I love about Alan Young is you have to remember that he goes back to radio. He had a great voice. And while I loved his being the straight man to Mr. Ed, what I also liked is he was Uncle Scrooge on DuckTales. That is, he did the voice of that character. And it's just a rich voice. It's one that you could see, this is a man who had great radio chops, and this is a man who's perfect for animation, and this is a man perfect for talking to a horse.
But also one of those guys that most people said, wow, he was still alive?
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Ed, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I was watching a Mr. Ed Christmas special on MeTV last week. it's pretty funny. The Dick Van Dyke Show, which was just aired in color on CBS. First of all, I want to ask you, did you, Wally or Kev, did you see that show? The color episode?
Very pretty, but it reminded people, that was the excuse for people who had never seen or hadn't seen it for a while to come back and say, wow, this really was a good show.
Well, football ran the night, but that was the number one show in all the other networks, beat out The Simpsons and everything else that night in color, just as a tribute. Right. It just kind of reminded people that the show was still out there. But Ann Morgan Gilbert, who played the next door neighbor, passed away.
Millie Helper, wife of Dr. Jerry Helper, next door. She actually did a lot of Broadway before she did Dick Van Dyke Show. And you guys will probably remember one of the last times that we've seen her, she was on a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
If you remember the episode down in Florida where Jack Klompas had the pen that could write upside down that he gave to Jerry.
Yeah.
And it was Ann Morgan that walked
in. That's right.
So I heard Jack give you his pen.
That's right. I forgot about that.
That was her. That was Millie Helper, Ann Morgan.
And some notable mentions that I'm just going to run through. Pat Harrington from One Day at a Time. Ken Howard from The White Shadow.
Schneider.
Joe Santos from the Rockford Files.
President, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Ken he was Howard. President. That's right. Right. Joe Santos, who did The Rockford Files and The Sopranos. James Noble was the governor on Benson. Dan Haggerty from Grizzly Adams. And then we had, Ron Glass from Barney Miller. Peter Vaughn from Games of Thrones. Mother Mary Angelica. Who really made an impact on television as well. Movies, we got to move to movies. Nobody bigger than, and you think about in your childhood watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Gene Wilder, Wally.
Yeah, and Gene Wilder was just essentially defined amazing comedy with the producers. with Blazing Saddles, with Young Frankenstein, with Willy Wonka. And Mel Brooks talks about how he had this perfect control. He had the slow burn. He had that. Then he exploded. But you were on the edge with him all the way because he had this ability to take you deep into his character. And you say, oh, in Young Frankenstein, when he's saying, no, I'm not going to get mad at you. Tell me whose brain this was. And then, of course, he does get mad at him.
Yeah.
No matter what I say when he's locked up with the monster, don't let me out. No, let me out. Let me out. He's trying to kill me. And he just brought that frantic sense. And also, he did these great films, Silver Streak and Stir Crazy, with Richard Pryor. And they played off each other so well. It's a joy just to watch their interplay.
And he kind of disappeared in the last decade or so. I think he did an episode of Will and Grace or something, but he was pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He stepped back for because he had the option to.
Absolutely. George Kennedy, Kevin?
George Kennedy, all the tough guy movies. He always played those roles early on. There's a greater part of his career. We remember from Cool Hand Luke, Have Gun, Will Travel, Rawhide, Maverick. He was in kind of Sons of Katie Elder with John Wayne, Flight of the Phoenix with Jimmy Stewart, Dirty Dozen, all these tough guy roles that he played in all of those movies, but able to show his just ridiculous sense of humor in the Naked Gun movie.
Yeah, I think our sons probably know him best from that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got just some other mentions here. She was Liesl from The Sound of Music. I think it was Charmaine Carr, the first kid of the movie to pass away. She wasn't that old.
She was 21 years old when she starred in it, which is ironic that she was singing "I Am 16, Going on 17" when she was actually 21.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what's funny, too, is if you've seen recent pictures or any of the reunions over the last few years, she looked exactly the same. Just a beautiful
woman. She's
beautiful. Beautiful woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Kenny Baker, Star Wars R2-D2, David Margulies, character actor, Ghostbusters comes to mind. Madeleine LeBeau. And Madeleine LeBeau from Casablanca. I got a couple other texts. Of course, Alan Thicke from Growing Pains, which was talked highly about, and then Bernard Fox from Bewitched. Dr. Bombay, do you have that? Do you know remember the incantation?
That was a great one. That was one of my favorite ones, too. It was calling Dr. Bombay, emergency, come right away. And every time he appeared then, when Samantha called him from where he was always wearing a different costume. He was in the middle of a bullfight. He was fighting sharks in scuba gear.
Yeah.
And it was always something different.
Always something. On to music. Wally, Sir George Martin, you have written so many books on the Beatles and so involved in so many Beatles events. This is a big one.
Yeah, you know, Sir George Martin, you can argue a lot of people as being, quote, the fifth Beatle, Brian Epstein, of course, being the manager who brought them to the stage. But it was Sir George Martin who truly was the collaborative fifth Beatle in the studio, who liked what he saw. Well, not initially, but after that first meeting with them, when they had the famous, well, is there anything that you don't like? And George Harrison said, well, for starters, I don't like your tie. And they hit it off perfectly well because George Martin's background, besides as we know him as the legendary musical producer, he was a legendary producer of comedy. He was a legendary producer who played with sounds back at Parlophone Records at EMI. And so if ever there was a match made in heaven, so to speak, of producer and performer, it was George Martin and the Beatles. And then he went on to produce hit after hit. I think he set some kind of record for the most number one, most top 10 songs as a producer in Great Britain. He was just simply the had the touch, and now is of course passed it on to his son Giles, who is definitely continued the tradition of working with the Beatles music and giving it the best possible showcase.
An absolute legend, another legend, David Bowie, Kevin.
Yeah, how about that? That was it wasn't just music with this guy too either. It was music. It was fashion.
It was art.
Style.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. He was art at that time. The eyes of the world were on him. You go through, start listing all the things, songs, Changes, Fame, Golden Years, Let's Dance, China Girl, Rebel, Rebel. Somebody's going to text you and say, you left out this, so I'm not going to continue. But what an icon, what a leader, what a guy, just left quite an impact on people. And Dave, I always like to throw these little things at you that, that I don't know if you've ever known, but he was actually born David Jones, but because there was a singer at the time by the name of Davy Jones, mm-hmm. from the Monkees,
right.
As he started becoming more and more famous, he changed his name to David Bowie.
He did change his name. Prince, of
and,
course.
And how many people can have a full-on art exhibit, a full-on museum exhibit, as Bowie did?
Came through Chicago. Chicago. It was amazing.
And that was amazing.
Yeah. We talked to the curator of that some time ago. Prince, of course, bigger than life in the 80s, 90s. And most recently, and actually, you know, I happened to be in Minneapolis about a week after he passed away. My son and I went to his house, to the memorial, and it was pretty incredible.
You worked there for a number of years.
I worked in Minneapolis, and I was actually in his club, Glam Slam, where I had met him back in 1991. Is when it was. So it was kind of at the peak. But yeah, I was in the music industry at that time.
And to lose both David Bowie and Prince in the same year is to lose those who are totally in command on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see Prince, not a tall guy, and yet he would dominate whatever performance venue that he was introduced to.
And then, of course, there was Merle Haggard, Frank Sinatra Jr., Glenn Frey, the Eagles, Morris White, Earth and Wind and Fire, Leon Russell, Leonard Cohen, Buckwheat Zydeco, Peter Fountain, Juan Gabriel, Robert Stigwood, Sonny James, Vanity, so much more music. We're going to talk about sports and notable figures in a brief period after this on 720 WGN.
I sat back there, and I listened to every word you said. Howard, every time you open your mouth, you should be arrested for air pollution.
Dave Flyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Wally Pedrazic and Kevin Pokorny about those we lost in 2016. Wally, Muhammad Ali, out of everyone we've talked about, this guy was just bigger than life.
Yes, this is somebody that the Beatles were thrilled to meet when they were coming to the U.S. Look, Muhammad Ali, superb athlete, wonderful entertainer, as you just demonstrated with this clip, but also someone who took very seriously culture, activism, civil rights. He made statements. He was someone who was up there dead center and said, I'm putting my career on the line to make my statements about war, to make my statements about who I am, to make my statements about the impact on culture that we have. And he earned incredible respect. A little bit of pushback initially, but ultimately a lot of respect for a lifelong career.
Arnold Palmer, Kevin, big in golf, big in sports. Well, invented the lemonade and iced tea combination as well. God bless him for that.
Yeah, you can take a look at the 62 titles. He won 4 green jackets at the Masters in Augusta, British Open winner, U.S. Open winner, won 7 majors. Even as early as 2011, he was still number 3 in golf earners, only behind Mickelson and Woods. Take all those things aside, what this guy did was he took something that was a country club sport and he made it available for everybody, just for the common guy.
We also have in sports Pat Summitt, of course, China, Monty Irvin, Jose Fernandez, Gordie Howe, Dennis Green, Dave Mira, Iron Mike Sharp. Notable figures, Wally, Antonin Scalia.
The thing about the Reagan appointee, about 30 years on the Supreme Court as an associate judge, for this election cycle that we've just gone through, he, in effect, helped define the importance of that election because he was such a strong voice from a conservative point of view that when he passed, people said, oh, everything is going to change depending on who the president is next year. And Scalia's departure put that into absolutely sharp relief.
Nancy Reagan, Kevin.
Wow. Former First Lady, widow of, course, President Ronald Reagan.
Actress.
She's an actress, yeah. But before her acting career started, Dave, you'll love this one. After college and before she started acting, she actually worked at Marshall Field's in Chicago.
No, I did not know that.
Department store.
That's pretty cool.
When she first met Ronald Reagan, it was because Nancy herself was being blacklisted as an actress. Her name was the same as somebody else who they thought to be a communist sympathizer. You remember this era? And she contacted the president of the Screen Actors Guild, who at the time was Ronald Reagan. And that's how they first met, later married, and actually filmed a couple movies together.
Such an influence in her husband's life and through his presidency as well.
Tremendously.
And, of course, there was John Glenn and Edgar Mitchell that have been recently talked about. Shimon Peres, author Harper Lee, and Sonia Reichel. That's my favorite. She's the queen of knitwear. She's gone.
Poor boy sweater.
Nothing but the best.
Nothing.
You know, Dave, we missed one yesterday. This is Sunday now, so Saturday, the inventor of the Heimlich maneuver. He died yesterday at age 96.
You know, he was the uncle, and I'm friends with him on Facebook, and I saw it was Anson Williams from Happy Days. That was his uncle.
He's related
uncle
to
Heimlich.
Potsy.
He's related to Potsy, of all people, as well. Well, you know, here's the thing, guys. We cannot ask notable people on this planet to hold off dying till 2017, so we know that there is going to be, you know, it's always at the end of the year, there's some big, you know, surprises that happen. And so what I'd like to do at the end of the year, beginning of the next year, is do a little supplement to this conversation for our podcast so that we can wrap all those things up as well. But it's always a pleasure.
I'm in if Wally's in.
Absolutely.
Sure. I'm in. Dave, stay healthy, though.
Thank you. I will do that.
Wally and I are going to do a show. We're going to lead off with Dave. Remembering Dave.
Oh, come on. I hope not. That's nice.
So, Dave, you're going to be the Abe Vigoda of
That's nice. Hey, by the way, speaking of the holidays, Wally is the author of many books, but Watching TV, which edition are we on already, Wally?
We're on the third edition of Watching TV. Go to watchingtv.org if you want to read about it. And I'm very proud of it. Just the third edition came out this year. It takes the story right to 2016.
Well, it's a history of television from the beginning of time to today. And it's just the most comprehensive book that you'll ever want. And it's going to make a great gift, too. So go to watchingtv.org. That's Wally Podrazek. He's Kevin Pokorny. Gentlemen, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you both.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
All right, gentlemen.